begin the Gemara on the top of Daf Yud Ches Omid Aleph. The Mishnah had recorded a controversy between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding soaking certain herbs or drugs on Erev Shabbos in order to create either a dio or a tseva, and the soaking process is called Shriya. And the Gemara now is going to try to clarify, where do we find the Tana that holds that Shriya itself is considered a malacha, such that on Erev Shabbos it's also, because it might lead to a malacha on Shabbos. Now Shriya usually is followed by what's called Gibul. Gibul means kneading with a K. And in Meleches Lisha, it's not just enough to pour the water onto the flour, but you have to knead the two together in order to be chai from Meleches Lisha. Here in our Mishnah, we're talking simply about Shriya without any subsequent pu'ula of Lisha. And yet apparently you're chai for Lisha even without Gibul. Man Tana, which is the Tana whose Shita is reflected in our Mishnah, that Nesinas Mayim L'Dyo, just simply soaking the dyo in water, even without a maisa gibul, is still considered zui shriyosam. That's a complete malach of lisha. Rav Yosef Rebihi. Rav Yosef says, if you want to know who would hold that yichay from leches lash as an av malacha do rice on Shabbos, even without gibul, just through the act of shriya, then you should learn the brisa that records the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef. And our Mishnah, as Rabbi Yosef wants to prove, reflects the shita of Rebbe against Rabbi Yosef. The Sanya we learned in a brisa. Now again, let's keep in mind, as we mentioned in the last year, that in order for there to be an Iser Mibodyom on Erev Shabbos, it has to be something which, if it were done Mishachashecha at night after Knisa Shabbos, it would violate an Iser Doraisa Yivichai V'chatos. So therefore we're looking for that Shita who would say that Shriyas Dio B'mayim on Shabbos would be a full-fledged violation of Meleches Lisha, even in the absence of Gibul. And let's just note that in the Piskei Arid, he explains that all Meleches Shabbos are derived from Mishkan, and in Mishkan, there was a Shri of Samamonim in order to get the Tseva, to get the dye out of these Samamonim, these herbs, and that was a replacement for Lisha, or that is Lisha. I mean, there was no other Lisha, so you know, just pouring the water on is itself Lisha. And the Braisa records a machlokas here about Kemach and Mayim. Echad no se nesa Kemach. Reuven came and he poured the flour into a bowl. V'echad no se nesa Mayim. Shimon came along and he poured the water onto the Kemach. Ha'achron chay of Divrei Rebbe. Shimon, who poured the water onto the flour, is going to be chayiv echatos for violating Meleches Lash, even in the absence of Gibul. And that's a tremendous chidush here, the sheet of Rebbe, because what's pouring water on flour without gibul? The whole concept of lisha is to take a liquid and a solid and make them one. How are you making them one without gibul in the case of flour and water? And we're going to have to assume that according to Rebbe, there's already a tchilas gibul, so to speak. There's already a beginning of a process of the mixture of the flour and the water to create one entity, even before Gibul. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, Omer eino chayev adshi gabel. The Meleches Lisha could only be violated after he kneads the dough, he kneads the flour and the water together. And that's Lisha because at that point he creates this new entity of a dough, of an Isa. Now, you may remember that one of the most important commentaries on Meleches Shabbos, especially on what we call Sidura de Pas, the first series in the Mishnah in Klal Gadol, is the Iglei Tal, of the Sokach of a Rebbe, the author of the Avnei Nezer. And he proves from Rishonim that according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, in this price, you're not chayav unless you do both. Nesinas mayim A and gibul B. If one person puts the water on, the other person does the gibul, both of them are potter. And the reason for that is because nesinas mayim, although it begins to create a chibur, a connection between the water and the kemach, but it's still two separate entities. It's not guf echa. The gibul itself is the gemar malacha when he creates one indivisible entity by creating this dough through the kneading process. And therefore, Rav Yossi holds that you're not chayev unless you do both pu'ulos together. First, nesinas hamayim, and then gibul. However, the Igle Tal does point out that according to the Merkavas HaMishnah, who lived about three centuries ago, one of the great Sephardic poskim, he writes that according to Rabbi Yossi, Shriya is not a malach at all. The malach is the gibul and not the Shriya. But that's not the Avni Nezer, that's not the Sukkot Shavar in Igle Tal. Now Abaye steps up and asks Akasha, raises an objection to Rabbi Yossi. Because the premise of Rabbi Yosef is that Rabbi Yossi holds that Nesinas Mayim, in the case of Dio, like in the case of Kemach, is not enough to generate a Chiyu from Aleches Lisha. Amalei Abaye, Vidilma, perhaps logically, Adkan Loka Amar Rabbi Yossi. When does Rabbi Yossi say that you must have Gibul and pouring the water is not sufficient to violate Lisha Ella BeKemach? Because Kemach is a bar gibul hu. Bar gibul means that if you want to create an isa, you want to create a dough, and you want to attach all the pieces together to make one entity of a dough, then you must do gibul. Pouring the water is not enough. That's called Kemach is a bar gibul. It means it needs gibul in order for that taroves of mayim with Kemach to generate one new entity. And as we said before, Rebbe holds that the beginning of the process is sufficient to constitute a violation of Aleches Lisha. Avol Dio, says Abaye, in the case of Dio, the Lav Bar Gibul, who, as we discussed earlier, in the Mishkan, that's all they did. In order to create this Dio, the final product was generated through Shriya without any Gibul, the Lav Bar Gibul, who. You don't make some sort of a dough in the case of ink, in this case of dio. No dough, no dio. No, right? No dio, but no dough, but dio. So therefore, emach lechayev, it's very logical to assume that without attributing our Mishnah to Rebbe, you could attribute our Mishnah to Rabbi Yossi, and he himself, Rabbi Yossi, would agree that in this case, you chayev chatos for nesinas mayim, even without gibul, because you'll get the tarovas, the very fine heitev, you know, b'mayim, even without gibul, just simply by allowing shriya. So our Mishnah could be now, according to all opinions, not just Rebbe, but also Rebbe Yossi, that's the argument of Abaye. And truth be told, logically, Rebbe Yossi is going to have to admit that Abaye is correct, but Rebbe Yossi has a brisa, and from that brisa, he's going to prove that Rabbi Yossi is a different sheet entirely. Lo sal kedaitki says, don't even entertain that thought. The sanya we learned in the brisa, echad no sein es ha efer, v'echad no sein es ha mayim, ha achron chayav divrei Rabbi Rabbi Yossi reviewed the Omer ad shi gabel. So now we're talking about something called Afer, which is ashes. Again, the Gemara is going to reinterpret the word in a minute, but right now we're assuming it's ashes. And when you mix it with Mayim, like the Paraduma waters, the Mechatos, it's Mayim with Afer, then in this case, the Afer is not a Bar Gibul. In that sense, it's like the Dio case. And yet, although Rebbe says you're chayv in this case for Nesinas Mayim, that's Rebbe Lishitaso, because Rebbe doesn't require Gibul, even in the case of Kemach, certainly not in the case of Afer. But to our surprise, here in this Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no violation of Aleches Lash until he does Gibul. And that's even the case of Efer. So it means that Meleches Lash, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, has its very definite legal definitions and requirements, one of which is, as far as Meleches Lish is concerned, Gibul. Now, when we say that Efer is not a Bar Gibul, what we mean is that the different parts of the Efer don't cling together through the Mayim. And even though that's true, and there's no Gibul to create one entity, to have Misdavkim Kol Chalok of Yachad for one, like parallel to an Isa Do, nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that Nesis HaMayim itself alone, without Gibul, is not considered a violation of Meleches Lishon. The same thing should apply in the case of Samamonim, of Dio, Samamoni Dio, that when you pour the water in, that's like Efer, it's not enough to generate a Chiyuv Lash without Gibul. And if he's not Megabel the Dio with the Mayim, then Rabbi Yossi would hold that he's not violating Meleches Lishon, and therefore our Mishnah could not square off with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Now the machlokas here between Rabbi Yosef and Abaye is that Rabbi Yosef holds that according to Rabbi Yossi, Meleches Lash requires Dibuk Chalokim Nifradim. You have to take all these pieces and somehow gather them together so they cling together, and by mixing them together you need Dibuk. Without Lidabek as Kol HaChalokim, that's not called Lisha. We're going to have a similar concept, by the way, Meleches Bona in the case of cheese making. In any event, Rabbi Yossi says in Efer Ad Shi Gabel means that he has to do a Gibul Derech Dover Derech Shederech Ligbol. Now in Efer itself, even if he does Gibul, he's not going to be Chayav, because the Chalokim are not Mistabkim Zetz. But Abai holds that according to Rabbi Yossi, once you mix these two elements together, that itself is considered Lisha, even if they don't form one entity and there's no Dibuk of Chalokim Yachad. Therefore, when you pour the water on the Efer and there is some sense of mixture, that's enough to violate the Meleches Lisha B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, wait a minute. Vidilma, my Efer, maybe what the Brisa means when it mentions Efer is Ofer. Ofer is soil, is dirt. And we find in a pasuk in Chumash a usage of the word Efer as Ofer. In the parsha of Mechatos, Bamidbar Perkites, it says, May Ofer Srefa Sachatos, and it's a reference to Efer. So you see that the word Efer can be substituted for, that Ofer can be substituted for the word Efer. And if we're talking about Ofer, then we understand Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, when he says Ad Shi Gabel, because the Bar Gibul Hu. In other words, let's say you're making cement for building purposes. When all the pieces of the cement, all the mixture gets together as one entity, all the chalokim and mistabkim through the process of kneading of gibul. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that since in the case of Ofer, it's a bar gibul, therefore he's not chayiv until he does gibul. But Efer itself is not a bar gibul, or samamonim in the case of Dio. Rabbi Yossi would certainly admit that he's chayiv for nesinas mayim, even without gibul. So the Gemara is not happy about this, because for Asanya we have a brisa that says Efer, Vasanya Ofer. And if we take these two brisas, both of which record a machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, in which Rabbi Yossi consistently requires gibul, one of them is certainly referring to Efer, because by contrast, if the other one says Echad no sein es ha'ofer, and this one says Echad no sein es ha'efer, it must be that Efer and Ofer are two different things. The Gemara says, what kind of proof is that? Midi gabe adodi tanya? Are these two brisos formulated together as one entity that we can die from a shinui loshen and contrast the word Efer with Ofer? These were two different brisos. The brisos came from Rabbi Chia and Rav Oshia, so it could be that one brisa came through the transmission of Rav Chia and the other through the transmission of Rav Oshia, and therefore one brisa calls it Efer and the other brisa calls it Ofer, but they're both the same. And therefore, with regard to Efer itself, it's very possible that Rabbi Yossi would in fact be moded to Rebbe, that Nesinas Mayim itself without gibul constitutes a violation of Melechus Lisha. Why? Because we're talking about something that's an Einu Bar Gibul as opposed to Kemach. And then our Mishnah could reflect the Shita even of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. At this point, the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa with regard to other Melachos, additional Melachos, that you can begin on Erev Shabbos, even though they complete themselves on Shabbos, May Alehem. Torah Rabbanah, we learned Potkin Mayim. We're talking about irrigating a field. And he opens up the tsinoros, you know, the various pipes that will bring the water onto the field. So on Erev Shabbos, he either makes the pipes, which are called charitzim, in the ground, so that the water can flow through them, or he opens up these pipes. Lahavi Samayim Misfas Hamayon. And this action will cause the water to come from the springs and bring him in lagina into the orchard or his garden, and he can do this erev Shabbos Simcha Shecha, the last minute before Shabbos. So we're going to find here in this braisa an entire list, enumerated list of malachas that he began on erev Shabbos, and he's allowed to do them. This despite the fact that the melacha will be continued and completed on Shabbos. And this is going to reflect the Shita Beis Hillel. So we have first the melacha of Potkim Mayim, and then we have a case of Menichim Mugmar. So let's just read the first part of Potkim Mayim. Potkim Mayim, he finishes up by saying, Hagina Mismales Volechas Kolyom Kula B'Mayim. So during the entire Shabbos, the field is being inundated, so to speak, with water, and that's the Bryce's Kiddush, that we're not nervous that maybe he'll come, you know, to do this kind of malach on Shabbos itself and violate an av malach of Mashkiz Royim, or maybe it's a tolda. But it would seem that even though the watering, the irrigating of the gina of this garden is a melach d'oraisa, nevertheless you're allowed to begin it right before Shabbos, as we said, reflecting the Shita Beis Hillel. Then we have the case of Menichim Mugmar. You have a certain kind of incense and other kinds of spices that give a fragrant odor, and you're allowed to place them on top of coals on Erev Shabbos. And then what happens is the smoke goes up, a pillar of smoke with a fragrant odor, taksa kalim, and it enters into various clothes that he wears that are, let's say, hung up on a peg. And all this is to give a bosem, to give a very fragrant odor to begotten him. Again, this is a little bit foreign to us, but that's what they did with incense back in the day. And certainly here, when he's putting something on the eish, on Erev Shabbos, Vabgodim is gamrim vaholchim kolyom kulo, and during the course of the entire Shabbos, the fragrant odor penetrates into these begodim, into these clothing, during the entire course of Shabbos. And here we're talking about a meleches mavir, where he's burning something on the incense on the fire. And manichim gofris tachas akelim. Gofris is a kind of sulfur that you place onto the coals, and once again it's underneath the utensil, and the oshan, in this case the smoke that comes up from this sulfur on top of coals, darkens the color of a keli. Now these keli that we're talking about are made with artistic beauty, various lines and various pictures and images are charuta, means they are engraved in the kli, and now by putting them on this sulfur, you know, sulfur ashan, this smoke that comes from the sulfur, what happens is it's mavlit. Mavlit means it causes those lines in the tzirim to be more profound. And it beautifies the artistic work on the kli. Now today, for example, you can go to an auction where they auction off these kind of very special utensils made of porcelain or other substances, and you'll see beautiful tsuros, beautiful shapings, you'll see birds, and you'll see flowers and all sorts of beautiful things on silverware, on silver utensils, and so forth and so on. And this is all made or processed through what's called Ishun Begafris. And that's the Kavi Harita that Mashchirin V'Nikarim, Rashi says. Now, exactly what malacha he would be violating here, well, first of all, Mavir, if he puts the gofres on top of the coals, and secondly, perhaps he's chayav for Malachas Makar B'Patash here. And all this he's allowed to do on Erev Shabbos M'Chashech, Mei Miskaprim V'Holchem, that during the entire course of Shabbos, the pillar of smoke that's coming up from these from this mixture of gofres and gecholim is going into piercing and penetrating into these kelim and beautifying these kelim kol Shabbos kula during the entire balance of Shabbos. Umenichim kilar, you're allowed to put a bandage for medicinal purposes over an eye, al gabi ayin, v'chein ispolonis, which is a kind of a salve, al gabi maka. Again, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh here. That's you're allowed to even, you have to do even an Issa Doraisa. But we're talking about a non-sakana, non-threat, not life-threatening situation. It's just refuah on Shabbos, which is asur. And what you do is you set up this kilar, this tachboshes, over the eye with maybe it's saturated with some sort of a medicinal element, and you also can take this polonis, which is this salve, this retia, and you got to put it on the maka, and misrapes ve'olechas kol yom kula. During the course of Shabbos itself, the refuah will be, you know, there's a constant pu'ula, so to speak, an ongoing therapeutic process. Now, this braisa about putting kilar al gabi ayin on Shabbos, implying that this would be also on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos, the Tosis, Diva Maskel Misrapes, based on a Gemara later on Kuf Chesam and Beis, of Shorin Kilar Meres Shabbos, Michal Tachsa Ayin B'Shabbos, says that it would be mutter to do the Shri of Kilorin on Erev Shabbos in order to put it on the eye. So Tosis answers that there it's talking about a healthy person. He's not putting it over his eye for refuah purposes, but for tainug purposes. He just enjoys it. However, our braisa here is dealing with a case where he puts something on the eye, and in this case he's putting this kilar on his eye for the sake of refuah, and therefore be also. Now, it's a little bit strange here because I'm not sure what kind of Issur we're dealing with, even if they had done this on Shabbos. Lechora, to put the kilar over his eye on Shabbos would be included in the Gzeres Refuah, which is Mishum Shchika Samamonim, or the Gzeres Shemim Rachenu, which is a Sugyon Daf, Ayin Aleph, Ayin Heim and Beis, but in any event, there's no Chiv Chatos here. I'm not sure what the Havamina was, that this would be also an Erev Shabbos. Usually we say, well, maybe he'll come to do it on Shabbos, but even in the worst case scenario, if he does it on Shabbos, he'll violate an Issur Drabbanon. And usually in a case of a Chola, we would be Matir Rafu on Shabbos in any event. So I looked around, I didn't find anything at this point in the Mefarshim. Maybe we'll get to it later, I don't see it now. Then we have one case in this entire braisa with all the cases that were listed as mutter Erev Shabbos, which was potkim mayim, which was mugmar tachas hakelim, we had gofris tachas hakelim, we had kilar tachas ha'ayin, and ispolonis tachas al gabi amaka. Now we have one case which is prohibited on Erev Shabbos. Aval ein nosnim, even on Erev Shabbos, Chitim l'tocha rechaim shel mayim. You have a water mill, and the water goes around and around, causing the mill to go around and around, and grinding the wheat. And that you're not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos. Ela b'chdei shi tochnu mibon yom, unless the tchina, the grinding, would be completed before Shabbos. So on this last case, which apparently even Beis Hillel asks, is my timer, what's the reason for this? Now here's the famous Machlokas Rabban Rav Yosef that we've been discussing a few times, but we haven't gotten into yet. Now we're ready for it. Omar Rabba, Rabba says the problem with the Rechayim is Mipnei Shemashmiya Mashmas Kol, that this mill makes a lot of noise, and it's Nishma Dover. You know, there's almost a public element here in the Melacha that's being done on Shabbos. That's a Zilzul called Shabbos. That's the way Rashi learns it. Other Rishonim have a different take on this, that the issue is because Hashmas Kolom looks like, in the eye of the spectator, he hears that, he thinks that he put the Chitim into the mill on Shabbos itself. So it's more of a Chashada kind of prohibition. In any event, that's Rabba. Omale Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says there's a more basic problem over here in the case of Rechayim. And I don't know why you interpret it as a problem of Hashmas Kol. And that is, V'lema Mar, why don't you say that the Isur in this Braisa, in the case of Rechayim, is Mishum Shvisas Kelim. And we never really saw Shvisas Kelim explicitly in the Gemara until this point. Shvisas Kelim is a very fundamental sugya, which means that a person has to not only rest himself on Shabbos, but he has to see to it that his animals rest. And in that pasuk, there's a special ribui. It says, "Ubayom haShvi tishbos leman yonuach shorcha vechamorecha ubechol asher amarti aleichem tishomeru." So this extra word ubechol in this braisa comes to be marbesh visas kelim, that my kelim have to rest on Shabbos. He can't be doing a malacha on Shabbos. Now again, is it that the kelim can't do malacha, or alternatively, the Torah is saying that if my kelim are doing a malacha that I set up on Erev Shabbos on Shabbos, it's as if I'm doing a malacha. Somehow there's a connection, and it's a relationship between my kelim that are working on my behalf. I own these kelim. Again, I could always be mafke the kelim, but right now I own the kelim, and the kelim can't be working to do a malacha on my behalf on Shabbos. And the premise of Rav Yosef is that even Beis Hillel, who allows all these other malachas that began on Shabbos and began on Erev Shabbos and continue on Shabbos itself, all that is permissible, but he is mode that Shvisas Kalim is also. And the Pella is, if Shvisas Kalim is also, you would think that he would prohibit all the cases that we dealt with, whether it's in the Mishnah or in the Braisa, so this is going to come around the bend. Therefore, since Rav Yosef is absolutely convinced that even Beis Hillel agreed to this principle of Shvisas Kalim, El Amar Rav Yosef, the reason why the Braisa says he cannot put wheat into this mill on Erev Shabbos is Mishum Shvisas Kelim. The mill, which is called Rechayim, is working on his behalf on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, Hashto di Amrit, if you're telling me, according to Rav Yosef, that Beis Hillel Islu Shvisas Kelim Doraisa, that Beis Hillel derived from the Pasuk of Laman Yonuach, that your Kelim have to rest on Shabbos, and that's why the Braisa was machmir, according to Beis Hillel, in the case of Rechayim Shalmayim, because of Shvisas Kelim. And the reason why the Gemara says that's according to Beis Hillel, because that Braisa has so many Aterim, I think we counted five of things that you're allowed at Malachas, that you're allowed to set up on Erev Shabbos, it must be reflective of the Shita Beis Hillel. And yet Beis Hillel is molded in the case of Rechayim, and why, says Rav Yosef, because of Shvisas Kelim. So the Gemara asks, Gofris u'mugmar my time is shari. Why is it? Now, when you do Gofris or Mugmar, what you do is you take the sulfur, and you take, Mugmar means incense, and you put them into a utensil, and you cook it on the fire, on the coals. So it comes out that there's a kli that's holding on to the Gofris, or holding on to the Mugmar, and the malach is being done by the kelim. So why is it that that in the Sefer, in the case of Chitim, Rechayim, Beis Hillel agree that it's also because of Shvisas Kelim, and yet in the cases of Gufris and Mugmar, Beis Hillel say it's fine. There's no Iser of Shvisas Kelim. What happened to Shvisas Kelim? So here the Gemara comes up with a breakthrough lumdus here about the extent and the scope of Shvisas Kelim. When and under what conditions is there Shvisas Kelim, and under what conditions is the Malacha being done in a Kli, but the Kli is not working, and therefore there's no Shvisas Kelim. So Gemara says that Mishum de Loka Avid Maisa, in the case of Gufritz and Mugmar, in these cases, then the Kli is not actively involved. The Kli can be sitting on the ground, and the Gufris or the Mugmar is inside the Kli, and whatever has to happen is happening inside the Kli. The Kli itself is not active in any sense, in any far-fetched sense that you could imagine. And therefore, only in the case of Rechayim, where the Rechayim is working overtime, Rechayim is sweating it out, it's doing a Maisa Tchina, then, by setting that up on Erev Shabbos, you violate the, shall we call it, the Bittul Essay, or maybe it's a Lava Vamachal Essay of Shvisas Kelim. Now, if you recall, we spoke about the case of Te'ina Sakora V'Gulei Agas, right, where you have the olives that started in the pressing and the grapes that started in the pressing, and then you on Erev Shabbos, you lay on top of them a very heavy kli so that the process of schita could continue on Shabbos. And l'chora, that should also be an active role of a keli, of a kavod maisa. The keli is doing the schita, it's squeezing out the oil or the wine. And the answer is, says Tosis Divya Maskeva Lema, that this is not a violation of Shvisas Kelim, because even without this, the Mashke would come out on its own. The heavy duty Kli that you're putting on top of it with the weight, that's speeding up a process, but that process would have happened in any event. So that's not called the Ka'avid Le Keli, that the Keli is working on his behalf to do a Malacha. So the Gemara now asks another question. Unin Shel Pishtan. What happened in the case of putting something into the oven, and it turns white, if you remember these strips of flax? Is my time a Sharu? How could Reis Hillel permit that? The Tanur is working overtime. The tanur, pardon the pun, is sweating it out in order to be malabin the unin shel pishnon. So certainly this is a case where the keli is actively involved. You're turning on the oven. Gemara answers, mishum de lo ovid maisa umenech naichi, that although the fire is heating up within the tanur and the oven, it contains the fire inside, but nevertheless, the Liban process, which is a result of the baking in the oven of these Unin Shel Pishtan, all that is happening because of the active element and role of the Esh, but not the Tanur itself. The Tanur is totally passive. The Lo Ovid Maisa Umenech Naicha. In other words, the tanur is sitting there, wherever it's sitting, maybe it's on the ground. The fire is inside of it. The fire is doing the pool of libun, just that the tanur is containing or retaining the heat of the esh. But it's not an active element in the, shall we say, the bishul process or the Havara process or Libun in this particular case. That's not a result of the active participation of the Tanur. A whole different way of looking at an oven. You know, the oven is is not a gavra with a maisa avera that's doing this libun, but rather it's a cheftza. It's totally passive. Now, l'chora, there's a difficulty here because the Tana of this brisa holds that in a case of stam, we assume in any keli, unless we know otherwise, that it is a din of shvisas keli. So how did Rav Oshien know that this is not the opinion of Beis Hillel? This is only according to Beit Shammai. So the Tzlach offers an answer that Rav Oshien thought that there's no svar to be machalik between the kli doing a maisa or the kli not doing the maisa. Because Beis Hillel's matir in our Mishnah, all sorts of malachas of kelim, one by one, specific case of kelim, it must be that Beis Hillel doesn't hold of the din of Shvisas kelim. That's the sheet of Rav Oshien. But right now, we're learning the sugya of Rav Yosef. So the Gemara asks, Mitzudas chaya v'yofid dogim, in the case of capturing animals, whether it's a chaya, whether it's a bird, whether it's fish, are you allowed to be pores these mitzudos mibodyom? And the answer is, Beis Hillel was matir it. Now the Gemara is asking to you, Rav Yosef, Kavid Maisa. Certainly the trap is clamping down over the bird or whatever it is, and that's a Maisa Lakida, Lilko, that's a oaf, you know, it's capturing, or for example, Malkotis of Chayos, when the Chaya steps on the trap, then immediately the trap closes and captures its mouth, Tofes is Ragla. Can you be more active than that? Is my time a shorter? Why does Beis Hillel allow this on Erev Shabbos? What about Shvisas Kalim? So Gemara answers that there is a case of hunting and trapping where the utensil itself that's used for the trapping is passive. And Hosam Nami, that's a case not of any stav, you know, mitsuda or hunting utensil, you know, a trap, but rather it's one of these very specific types of traps that we're going to deal with now. One is called luche, and the other it's called kukrei. Now, luche means that you take the fisher's net, the fisherman's net, and there's a bait on the bottom of the net, and what happens is the fish grabs on to the bait. So basically, based on Rashi, belechi or luche, we can conclude that it's the fish who's the active element, grabbing on by biting on to the bait on the hook of the fisherman's net. But it's not the net itself that was actively involved in catching the fish. The fish came along and jumped on to this and hooked itself up. The Aruch gives a slightly different interpretation of this luche business, and he says it's chafir shosim bekarka. They dig something in the ground, and on top of the chafir, on top of this digging, they put a luach. And that luach is made of eitz, and it covers the chafira. Now, on one side of the luach, there is a part that's lifted up amongst the oretz. It's held on, it stands up with a little peg, a kisem, and the oaf goes into the hole, because again, it's lifted. And then what happens is, it snaps down, and that's how you capture the bird. And that's what's going on over here, in which case the bird is doing all the action, so to speak. Then we have the case of kukrei. I have a little diagram here of kukrei in my Gemara. I'd like to show it to you. It's a very interesting thing. It's like a pole, and on the top of the pole there's a round thing where the fish goes in from the wider side, and once its head goes in through the more narrow side, a cone, that was the word I wanted to use, like a cone that's being held up. So the fish goes through the wider side and its head pops out of the other side, the narrow side, and it can't move back. It's already caught in the low covered mice, and this trap does not do anything active. It's the captured animal or fish that does, or bird that does the action itself. And now the Gemara is going to bring another opinion regarding the Tanoim, the Shittas of Tanoim, with regard to Shvisas Kelim. And we can interpret our sugya based on this interpretation in a different way. Vahashta, now, the Omer of Oshi, Omer of Asi, Man Tana, who's the Tana, the author of this Braisa, who says that you're not allowed to put the chitim, the grains of wheat, into the mill on Shabbos, into the water mill, because of Shvisas Kelim, and Shvisas Kelim is Doraisa, so that's Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is the one who maintains that Shvisas Kelim is awesome in the rice. Velo Beis Hillel, meaning Beis Hillel never accepted this principle of Shvisas Kelim. And Lebeis Shammai, once Beis Shammai accepted this principle of Shvisas Kelim, is Bein de Kovid Maisu, Bein de Lo Kovid Maisu. Even if the Malach is done inside the Kli, not by the Kli, it's awesome. Because we see that Beis Shammai prohibits the case of Unin Shel Pishtan, which are put into the oven. The oven, we said before, it doesn't do any pe'ula. It's Nases Bitocho, inside the oven, but it's not the oven per se that's doing the malach, rather the Eish inside the oven, and nevertheless, Beit Shammai prohibits it, even though the pe'ula is not done by the Kli, but rather inside the Kli. That's enough to generate the essay of Shvisas Kelim. Beis Hill says, Yafagav, the other extreme, Kavod Maisa, Shari. Even in a case where the Kli is doing an action, it's still Mutter, because Beis Hill never accepted the principle of Shvisas Kelim. And if you take a look at Tosfos Dibur Maskil Lema, he interprets the Gemara that the Gemara is now retracting what it said above, that according to Rav Yosef, the Braisa reflects the Shita Beis Hillel. But Rav Yosef holds that the Braisa is like Beis, but rather the Braisa is now like Beit Shammai, and Rav Yosef had to establish the Braisa in such a way because, according to him, the reasoning of Rabbah of Hashmas Kol is not logical. He never accepted that Hashmas Kol business. So the Gemara now asks the following question: Vahashta di Amrit dila Beit Shammai. Afalgav, the law of Idmaisa, Asur, if Shvisas Kelim is an absolute all-inclusive Isa, it applies even if the Kli is totally passive, Ihachi, and now we turn to the Af Yav Yuchesam Idbeis, is Mugmar Vigafris, my time is short. In other words, when he puts the coals together with the spices or the incense or the sulfur inside this Kli, and yet we said that the Braisa was Matir, and the Braisa now is reflecting the Shita Beit Shammai, why would that be Mutter? The Kli is, it's not actively working here, we said it's the fire that's working, but nevertheless, the Malacha is being done inside the Kli, so you're using the Kli to activate this Malacha. Gemara answers, Hosam Manach A'ara. That's a case where the Gufris and the Mugmar is not placed into a Kli, because if it would be, then Beit Shammai would prohibit it. But rather, it's munach al gabe ara. It's on the ground itself. And you might say that, you might have had a havamina that even though it's on the ground and there's no Shvisas Kelim, maybe it should be also because he might come to do this on Shabbos and he would be violating Melechas Havara. The answer is no. It's mutter. Now the Gemara asks another question. What about Gigis? We have something which is a big barrel where you make shechar, and what you do is you soak the barley inside this big barrel for a period of 8 days minimum, including Shabbos, and this gigas, this big barrel, is doing a malacha for you on Shabbos. And not only that, the ner. What about a ner, which is a receptacle? You put the shemen in the receptacle, you put the wick inside, you light the wick on Erev Shabbos, and that's even a mitzvah that we fulfill every Erev Shabbos, and it's going to light on Shabbos. So now this Kli is doing malacha for you. In addition, we have Kedera. What happens cooking in a pot? right? What you do is you put the pot onto the kira, and you turn on the fire, and the food is getting better and better on Shabbos. So we have a melacha bishul that's being done in a keli, or shapud, right? Shapud means, let's say you have it's called a spit in English, where you put something on Erev Shabbos with the meat inside the spit, and it continues to roast during Shabbos. Well, yeah, pargiot and so forth, so on. And we never found the Beit Shammai prohibits this. As the bishul is going on Shabbos, the brewing process and the hadlokas near Shabbos is going on Shabbos. My time is shor Beit Shammai. And the Gemara gives a wild answer over here. Mishum de mafkare luhu afkure. That all these cases, which are mutter according to Beit Shammai, it's only because he's mafkir belibo. In his mind, in his heart, he's mafkir. He makes it hefker. Again, I don't know how that's going to square with Rav Yossi and Nedarim, who says that there's no such thing as hefker unless it's bifnei shlosha. Hefker is not balev. You know, it's in front of a tribunal of three people. But in any event, the Gemara is assuming now that for sure the guy is going to be mafkir, his kelim, because otherwise he's going to violate the iser of Melechas HaKli, Shvisas Kelim. He doesn't want to violate the iser of Shvisas Kelim, and therefore he's mafkir the kelim, and he's no longer commanded in their Shvisa. I mean, that's a little bit way out. I mean, can I break into his house and steal his kelim? And at what point is he mafkir? If he's mafkir on Erev Shabbos, I can have a blast. I can clean him out from all his kelim. Just take them all. He was mafkir them all. Or maybe the hefker is only takes place. It's only activated on Shabbos. Man tana lahod to a ton of rabbanon lo simali isha kedera basosios v'surmisin v'saniach v'soch tanur b'Erev Shabbosim chashecha. Who is the tana who would hold that a woman should not fill up a pot full of these kinds of legumes that need a long-term bishul, and she puts the pot into the oven on Erev Shabbos right before dark, right before Shabbos, so that during the course of Shabbos they will cook and they'll be ready to eat on Motzi Shabbos. V'im nisanon. But b'dievet, if she did such a thing and she put the kedera in the tanur on Erev Shabbos, is the motzi Shabbos asur b'kdei sheyasu. She has to wait till a certain period of time after Shabbos in order to allow eating these legumes that cooked over Shabbos b'kdei sheyasu, until a shir zman would pass in which she could cook these legumes. And kayotsu are similar halacha in this brisa. Is lo yamali nachtum chovish shomayim v'yaniach l'soch hatanur Erev Shabbos im chashecha v'yamasa kelim otzoi Shabbos asur v'chdei shiyasu. If he fills up his oven, he's a baker, so he fills it up, he puts inside the oven a chovish shomayim, and he puts it inside the oven on Erev Shabbos before it gets dark, and he hopes the water will boil and continue to our tochas hamayim will continue to boil during the entire Shabbos. And if he does so, then we're not going to allow him to enjoy the benefit of this hartochas hamayim v'Shabbos b'toch ha'tanur until after Kadesh Shiyas, and given the time period it would take to do this after Shabbos, is lema. Should we say that's Beit Shammai v'lo Beis Hillel? Only Beit Shammai would prohibit it because the keli is working on his behalf during Shabbos, but Beis Hillel would permit it? No. Gemara says afilu tema Beis Hillel. Even Beis Hillel would prohibit having a bishul process take place or an afiyah process during the course of Shabbos. Gzeira shemiyachata b'cholim. Now we're introducing already Perakira, which is the third perak of Shabbos, that we're afraid that during Shabbos, if he wants to speed up the process, he may forget himself and he'll poke at the coals just the way he does that on Chol, in order to speed up the process of bishul of the kedera, and he's going to violate an isa doraisa through chitui, Again, exactly what that Iser is, it could be it's a double Avera, two Malachas, it's both Kibui and Havara at the same time. He's Mechaber the Gechalim, which on top, and he's Mavri, the ones that are on the bottom. And that's based on a Sugya Masechta Krisus. And that Gzeira is something that even Beis Hill would accept. The Hochi, the Gemara asks, if this be the case, that Beis Hill has this Gzeira of Gedera Nechovis, because of Shem Yechata B'Cholim is Mugmar V'Gofri is Nami Ligzar, why is it that you're allowed to take these spices and the sulfur and sulfur, put it on the Gecholim? It should be Osur, because he might come to do Chita B'Cholim. And the Gemara answers, the reason why Beis Hillel is matir in the Brice is Hosom lo machatil hu. There's no chash, it'll come to chitui, to poking the coals. Why di machati solik bu kutra vikoshi luhu? That he's afraid he might do the chitui, and now the smoke is going to go up, this pillar of smoke from the gecholim, from the coals, and it's going to enter into the begodim, into his clay kesef, and it's going to be a certain amount of lichluch, a certain amount of dirt that comes through what's called piach. Piach is that that black stuff, black smoke, smoky stuff. The Gemara now asks, what about unin shel pishton that Beis Hillel would matir to put into the tanur on erev Shabbos, nami ligzar? Why aren't we afraid of shem yichata b'gecholim? And the Gemara answers, chosam came into kashi luzeka. Lo Megalahu. It's very tricky, very detrimental if he opens up the oven in order to do chita, because then the air comes in, the zeka, and that wind that comes into the tanur destroys or damages the unin shel pishtan. Therefore, there's no chashash. And the same thing, what about semer liyora? Why is it that Beis Hillel allow you to place the wool into this gigantic pot and turn on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and during the course of Shabbos the tzemer is going to pick up the dye, the color of the dye will be suffused with the dye? Why don't we make a gzera and prohibit it, because Shem Yatav B'Gecholim Amar Shmuel B'Yore Akura? In other words, he took the Yore, this pot, off the fire. There's no Gecholim underneath it. So Gemara says, "Venechu Shema Magis." There's another part of Meleches Bishul, and that's called Hagasa, which means if he puts a spoon in and he mixes it around while it's boiling hot, that improves the Bishul. It's a Maisim Maisa Bishul, and then he'll violate an Isur Bishul, or the way Tosis learns it here, the Ramaska Vidilma, he'll violate the Isur of Tzviya, being Tzovea B'Shabes. So Gemara answers that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Bakura Vetucha, that he took this pot off the fire, and once he takes it off the fire, Toch Betit Saviv Ki Siume L'Sotma, there's no chashash of opening the top of this pot and mixing it around, because he seals down the cover with cement, with plaster, to connect and seal the cover to close up this kedera. So there's no chashash that'll open it up and he'll mix the contents inside with a big spoon, because till he finally breaks the concrete, the plaster, until he breaks the plaster in order to open up the top lid of this big pot, he'll certainly remember that it's Shabbos and that he's not allowed to do agos, he's not allowed to mix with a big spoon the contents of the pot. Okay then, so this is where we're going to stop for today, and we're on Daf Yud Chesam and Beis. We're almost halfway through the Amud, and we're up to Vahashta di Omar Mar. And Amir Shem, tomorrow we'll learn other halachas, according to Beis Hillel, that might be Osur to leave something in a tanur some pot that's going to cook on Shabbos because we'll be worried about Shemi Yechata Bigachol.